Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome back, and thanks for listening. Our segment now is brought to you by,
Who knows? It's summer.
They're all bringing it. It's brought to you by Brad Hall and Associates CPAs. I'm sorry about that little summer mind block here. But my next guest is not having a mind block. My next guest is Frumi Rachel Barr from eVirtual Roundtables. She's the CEO and founder, and she is helping business owners all over the world to coordinate, collaborate, and get together in online peer advisory boards. Frumi, welcome to the show.
So nice to be back, Bill.
Yeah, it is nice to have you back. You know, you were on, it was a few months ago, and it was really interesting. We got a lot of great comments. And listeners, if you want to hear that previous interview, you can always go to the index and type in B-A-R-R or F-R-U-M-I or any of that stuff, and you'll find her interviews. So we learned then about your background and where you've come in developing these types of peer groups, Frumi. What's happening in your world, and what's new with you?
Oh, okay. What's new? So whenever you start a new business, there's always a lot of iterations. It doesn't always work the way you plan it the first time. Mm-hmm. So what's important to recognize is that you have to do little pivots and keep tweaking it until you get it right. So what's happening in our wonderful online peer advisory network is that so far we have 10 certified leaders who've all been trained, and they're all creating, before their peer groups, they're creating what we call special interest groups. It's like online networking. So people between 10 and 20 people can join in. They can see each other, which makes a difference than a teleconference, so you can see who's paying attention. And mm-hmm. Nobody gets a chance to multitask. And we offer relevant content, an opportunity to be part of the community, and also an opportunity to make strategic connections in those special interest groups. And from there, we can see who would work well together. So the low barrier to entry is a special interest group, and from there, people are then invited into peer groups should they choose to go deeper into understanding their opportunities and their challenges with the help of other people.
So it's collaborative efforts amongst each other to help each other through issues with a coach that helps kind of moderate the discussions and keep everything moving, right?
Sure, that's what the peer groups are all about, and the special interest groups are just like networking, but you don't have to eat rubber chicken, and you don't have to travel anywhere. Mm-hmm. You can bring your own lunch, and you don't have to pay for parking, so you have the content that you would get in a networking meeting, and then not have to go anywhere, and then join the peer groups. And where you already know some of the people and you're already used to being online. Because some people just struggle with the idea of needing to be in person, but this offers such a broad spectrum of people to be able to get together from all over the country and all over the world.
Well, it's so 2014.
It's because, so 2014.
Because haven't we come far enough with technology that we don't have to get in our cars or get on planes to meet so much? I mean, there's always going to be need for high touch. We all know that. But
right.
But high tech to gather ideas and get coaching gives you the velocity to take what you're hearing and what you're experiencing and then put it right into action as soon as you hang up from the conference call, the video call.
Right, exactly.
Which I think is awesome.
People are always resistant to change, though, Bill. So it's like, you know, how long did we keep keeping our yellow pages around until we realized that we never look at them anyway and they're just doorstops because we could Google something?
Right, exactly. Yeah, CD-ROM thing pops out. There's a commercial on there right now, and the lady's using it as a coaster kind of thing, right? So we're slowly evolving into it. And Frumi, you are a leader of groups yourself. What types of special interest groups do you like to lead?
Well, you know, I just we use a process to determine whether our groups are acceptable to people. And you remember that I was always called Dr. Y. Mm-hmm. And so I sent out a pre-launch note and asked people to share their challenges around their why. And I realized something really significant. This was one of the tweaks for me, was that people are afraid of that. I'm sure you've often find people are afraid of financial planning too. They know they need to do it, but it's, you know, it's a tough one. And people often don't know their purpose. So what happened was, it turns out that all my life I've been an entrepreneur and got an education as a business person later in life, first an MBA and then a PhD. And so the reason my phone is always rang forever is other entrepreneurs asking me, how do I do this or that?
Mm-hmm.
So my groups are all around entrepreneurship. I've got the first kind of level one is people who are stepping out as an entrepreneur. They're thinking about quitting their job to start a business, or they'd like to work on their own, but they don't know where to start. They want to be independent, but that's also pretty scary. So that's one group. Second group is the secrets to accelerating success. And that's someone's first business with lots of decisions, and they both need to get momentum and traction. And then the third group is you're the CEO and you wish you had an MBA. So those are for all the people that find themselves in the position of being the leader and the CEO, but they never had time to learn about leadership, and yet they, of course, want to make the best decisions. And often they say to me, how did I get here? So it's for those people. So those are my three special interest groups.
And it's very interesting. And the first one that you mentioned, which is the entrepreneurship, how to become an entrepreneur, which not everybody's cut out to be an entrepreneur. We know that. I mean, we're being forced in this economy to look at other choices because the standard jobs that are out there are not really attractive to a lot of people, and they're looking at these new frontiers. Let's say technology-based, knowledge-based, leadership and coaching-based types of practices, and wondering, am I going to be able to do that and pay the bills?
Exactly. And often people pull the trigger on their job. Let's say they're totally unhappy in a corporate position. They're ready to quit and jump into it without setting the stage for it. There's so much that can be done before you actually quit a job. So that when you're really ready, you just press the go button instead of starting then. Because I think what people don't realize is that it takes 2 years to start a company.
Mm-hmm.
And it could take as many as four to get as much as you were earning when you were in a corporate job. It's still worth it.
Well, and looking back, I think there's a lot of people that would agree with you, that would say it was worth it. And what would be the reasons that people a couple years down the line would say, I got to go back and get a real job? What are some of the biggest stumbling blocks or problems that those people are facing, do you think?
I would think it's their mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if we keep persevering, in fact, my first book is called Confessions of a Resilient Entrepreneur, Persevering to Success. And in that book, I talk about knowing whether you can cut it as an entrepreneur, kind of the values you have to look at and your assets, not just financial assets, but your knowledge base, if you like, and then determining whether you want to go forward. So often people quit a minute before the miracle. And that's when it's important, I think, to be in a group with other people so that you can ask yourself, is it time for me to quit, or is it time for me to stay the course? Because you can't often figure that out yourself. Sometimes we get into a place of fear, so that kind of colors our thinking.
There are stories and stories and stories about that, about people that their big break came just when they mortgaged everything to the hilt and they were getting ready to, you know, the beans and rice were running out.
Right, exactly. So that's the hard part.
Yeah, life's like that.
At that time.
So then the other part is accelerating success. Now, people that are doing okay, but they kind of have a feeling that they could do better, but they don't know how or why. What do they look for in that type of a situation from you?
Well, very often they just don't have the tools. They don't have the leadership tools. They don't have the networking tools. So it's really in those groups It's an idea of sharing content around how to do those things, and how to know what type who your who's are. Mm. You know, often you've heard me talk about why, what, and all that, mm-hmm. but very often it's who we need to talk to.
Mm.
And who can get us, who's done something before. You know, very often when people come to me and they have a new business and they've already started, and I say to them, have you interviewed people like in other cities who've done this before? And the answer's always no. So imagine if you were starting a gym and you were here in Southern California, but you called someone in Colorado or someone in Washington, and you said to them, I know that you started your company in the last 2 years. Would you mind sharing with me what you would do differently if you were starting now?
Mm, yeah.
And
yeah.
There is a wealth of information, because why should you make the same mistake someone else made?
Yeah, exactly. So who's on your list of who's?
Yes, exactly.
Very good point. And, you know, people go to things like they network around or they meet people, and they don't think, you know, this is somebody that I might not have much to talk to them about today, but someday that might be a very valuable connection. So, you know, keeping track of all of that and knowing who's on your who list is a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk about the CEO, but not an MBA. So, I've built a business. It's successful. It's doing well, but I'm not really a business savvy person. How do you help with that type of an individual?
Well, let me tell you a story about one of those type of clients. Probably the first thing someone will say to me when, as a CEO confidant, that they would say, I'm not a CEO like other CEOs you know. And I say, what do you mean by that? Well, I'm really a fake and a phony. And I say, nah, come on, you didn't get to this position by being a fake and a phony. And the story usually is that they were elevated in some way. Let's say they were the sales manager and the CEO left, or the founder retired or something, and then they find themselves as the leader. So in this particular company, this fellow was a super salesman, and it's a distribution company in the Midwest, and he found himself as the CEO of a company that was bought from a home, kind of a family business. He had a lot of legacy employees, so he couldn't just fire everybody on day one. He needed to find out all their strengths, and of course, that was always the story of, this is the way we used to do it. You know, this is how it's done here. So we had to combat that. The receivables were factored, and so he had to really pull the company out of the red into the black without any of the tools that he would have learned in business school, right? So whether he would have really applied the tools from business school, it's a mindset again. When someone feels they don't have that knowledge, they feel less than. So he wanted to have me, with my MBA, et cetera, be his secret weapon so that he knew what to do and when he needed to do it. And one of the first things that came up was a situation with financial software, where he was late in delivering his financials to the bank. And because of bank covenants, it's really important to stay on top of that stuff. And so I had to share with him how to be proactive with the bank and call them and tell them what was going on and make them a partner in the business in terms of knowledge, rather than avoiding the bank and avoiding the conversation. And that's when you have to backpedal really fast. So it's that one simple example. It, you know, who knows how you could even put a value on it?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a lot of prevalence of that. I find that there's a lot of people that, like you said, came up through the ranks. Maybe they inherited the business. Maybe they kind of lucked into a position and then got elevated from there. But they feel like internally they know that they're going to be found out someday, or they feel like they are.
Right. Or they're afraid they are.
And you can't just go tell everybody about that. So you need to talk to someone in confidence and figure out, how do we work through that, and then get involved with other people who might be able to help you along. So what's the biggest opportunity with this venture that you're doing now with e-virtual roundtables? It seems like it's taking off pretty well, and you're getting a lot of acceptance. What do you see as the biggest opportunity?
Well, the biggest opportunity is also the biggest challenge, because people are used to being in peer groups where they're in the room together. So the opportunity is, it's a great big world, and not everybody can be in a room with someone. One of the reasons we started this company was because people said they were 2 hours out of Boston or 2 hours out of Sao Paulo, Brazil, and had to travel so far to stay in a day-long meeting. So the opportunity is to create something disruptive. And research has shown that people's attention span increases by 52% when they can see each other in a face-to-face online meeting. So if you have a geographically dispersed team and you want to have more meaningful meetings where nobody's multitasking and using devices, then this is the way to do it. So whether they join us as part of a peer group or part of a geographically dispersed team that's facilitated by us, that's really the opportunity, that we're doing something new and different that none of the other peer groups are doing.
Yeah, and it seems to me that even if you come together occasionally physically, because like in the book Megatrends many years ago, it talked about high tech and high touch need to coexist together. Mm-hmm. People still need to come together, but not all the time. And it seems like if people are buying back a day of travel a month, or you know, hours on the freeway, and still getting the benefit of the information and the collaboration, it seems like a win-win to me.
And you want to know something, Bill? I will bet you that in 5 years, being in a virtual meeting is going to be like being in a holographic environment. You're going to feel like you could touch someone.
We
so
do.
I think that's mm-hmm. the future, you know, especially if you're a Trekkie.
I think, as usual, you are well ahead of your time, and and you're paving the way for a lot of people who are looking at this and seeing, will this work? Because this model, and it is working, but as this model gets bigger and bigger, others are going to say, I don't want to, you know, driving around, especially down here in Southern California, it's kind of no fun. I mean, there's a lot of people that don't go to meetings at the last minute, cancel out because mm-hmm. they know that they're just thinking, you know, I could get a lot done in the half hour it takes me to drive there and drive back. That's an hour. That an hour means a lot to a business owner, you know, who's in the zone.
And if we continue to get as many emails as we do that keep multiplying and multiplying and multiplying, they're like fruit flies in a jar.
Well, that's the beauty of technology.
We'll never be able to leave our desk.
We're in a world of improving technology, so you're right on the core of it. Frumi, tell our listeners how they can find out more and get in touch with you.
Okay, our website is www.evirtualroundtablesplural.com. They can reach me at 800-998-4849 or Dr. Frumi, D-R-F-R-U-M-I, at evirtualroundtables.com.
Listeners, we talk a lot about collaboration, the power of the mastermind, and getting together with other people in a guided conversation to help you grow your business. This is an excellent way for you to find out about a new way to do this that'll give you more efficiency and really effective learning. And if you ever have the opportunity to meet Frumi, you'll just see that she lights up the room when she walks into it. Thanks very much for joining us today, Frumi. Great to talk with you. We're talking with Frumi Rachel Barr from eVirtual Roundtables. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. So please stay with us.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.